If you will, open your Bibles with me today to the book of Psalms, and let's turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Over the years, I've been asked this question several times as to my opinion as to what Old Testament believers, Old Testament saints knew. What is it that they knew, those who lived before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world? Well, we all recognize that it's not what a person knows, but who a person knows that makes him a child of God. A person can have a lot of knowledge in their head, but not know him whom to know is life eternal. It's not knowing a system of theology. It's not knowing certain doctrines, certain creed, but it is rather knowing a person. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that against that I have committed to him against that day. So it's not necessarily what a person knows, but who a person knows. And these Old Testament saints, they knew Christ. They knew Christ as he was promised to come from the very beginning. And they knew Christ as he was pictured in the many ceremonies in the law that God had given. And the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament, he answers this question in Hebrews chapter 11 when he lists so many of the Old Testament saints, and he makes this statement, these all, that is all the Old Testament saints, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. In other words, they had not lived to see the fulfillment of the promises. But they had the promises, and by faith they believed the promises. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. In this psalm, I want to point out to us 4 things that David, an Old Testament saint, that he knew. 4 things. And the emphasis is going to be on the last of these 4 things. But first, I want you to notice he knew that it was a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Recognizing that everything that we have, our very being, our existence in this world, every breath that we breathe, it comes from Him. He gives us life. We live and we move and we have our being in Him. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to thank Him for His Word. Many people have lived in this world and they have not had the blessing of having the Word of God. And the fact that David lived at a time when there was very little of the Word of God in comparison to you and I, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord for His Word. Where would we be in this world, a world of darkness without any light apart from the written Word of God? It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord for His Word, for His providence. For His providence that caused you to be born at this particular time to your parents. In this place, all of God's providence that concerns you and all of His creatures. It's just a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I know as parents, we teach our children to give thanks, to be thankful. There's nothing, I won't say there's nothing worse, but it's certainly sad when people are ungrateful, isn't it? Gratitude is something that should characterize and be a great mark of God's people. We're grateful. And a happy people is a thankful people. And a thankful people is a happy people. So that's the first thing I know that these Old Testament saints do, that it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And second, he knew, that is this Old Testament saint, he knew that it was through God's work that he was made glad. Notice that in verse 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. He found no real joy, no gladness in his work, in his obedience. He, like all of God's children, was made to know that it could not be by the works of his hands, no matter how great and how perfect the works of our hands may be. It always comes up short when it comes to our relationship with God. Because our works, our very best things, our righteousnesses, in God's sight, the scripture says, are as filthy rags. I think about the hospitals here in Houston, Texas, when they do the laundry and all of the filth and the sickness and just all the awful things that are produced by a body that's sick and just scum, so to speak. And that's our righteousness. That's our best deeds. That's the best prayer we've ever prayed. The best sermon I've ever preached. The best obedience that you've ever rendered before God is like filthy rags. And David knew that his heart had been made glad, not through his work, not through his obedience, but through the Lord's work. And yes, it was promised in that day, but God's faithful to His promises. God's worth, you know, that verse 2 tells us to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness in the evening. Every morning when we get up, we recognize that God's mercies are new today, and we need new mercies today. And when we come to the end of the day, before we go to sleep, We recognize and give thanks that God's been faithful. He's been faithful to us all through that day and all through our lifetime. God has been faithful. And the psalmist knew that he was made glad through the works of God's hands, through God's work. Yeah. You know, Job was an Old Testament saint, and I like what he said one time. And this is in Job chapter 9. He said, if I wash myself with no water, and they believed that snow water was the purest, the cleanest water that there was, melted snow water. And Job said, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. What did these Old Testament saints know? Well, here's four things that this Old Testament saint knew. He knew, first of all, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Do you know that? I know you do. I know that's why you're here today, to give thanks unto the Lord, to worship Him, to praise Him, to acknowledge Him in all things. And are you made glad today by His work? Not by your work, but by His work, His obedience, the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, His precious blood that was shed, that balm that they sang about, there's a balm in Gilead. We're made glad through His work. And here's a third thing that I see in this psalm that David was made aware of, and that is in verse 7. He knew that the wicked are best compared to grass. The wicked are best compared to grass. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. The grass looks good for a while. It may even be thought to be beautiful, but it's weak. Grass is. It's weak and it is soon cut down. It's soon dried up. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself spoke of grass in these words. He said, if then God so clothe the grass, now listen, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. David knew, this Old Testament saint knew that the wicked, the workers of iniquity, they can best be compared to grass. It's here for a short while, and then it is gone. It is like our Lord said, it is cast into the oven. It is burned. The wicked may look good for a while. He may. She may. They may look real good for a while, but it's short-lived. It really is. But here's the fourth, and this is the point that I wanted to spend most of our time on. He knew that the righteous may be compared to a palm tree. A palm tree. We recently spent several days at the coast, and one day I was looking there at the palm trees, and I was reminded of these verses in this psalm and other places in the scripture, which use the palm tree as a picture, as an emblem of a child of God. And I understand there are different kinds of palm trees, but David, of course, was speaking of a palm tree that would grow and did grow in the land of Canaan. But I have several things I want to point out to us about the righteous, that is, God's children, compared to a palm tree. First, the righteous, like the palm tree in this psalm, is planted. Notice that in verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The righteous, like a palm tree, is planted. Now, a man doesn't plant himself in the house of the Lord. It isn't by his so-called free will, his depraved will that he has planted in the house of the Lord, but it is God who plants one in his house. It is the Lord who justifies, who declares a person to be righteous. Let me read these verses again here in Psalm 92. The righteous, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The first thing that we recognize about the righteous, the children of God, as compared to a palm tree, is that God planted them. A bird didn't plant them. Now, a lot of trees are planted by birds. They pick up a seed here and they fly away and drop it somewhere else. No, the righteous are planted in the house of the Lord. God does it. God does it. I want you to look with me. Keep your places here, but look in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Beginning with verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." You see, man's problem is his heart. In Jeremiah, we read the heart is desperately wicked. Some people translate that incurably wicked. The heart is incurably wicked. And God must give a new heart. God must give a person a new heart. And that's one of the promises of the new covenant. Our Lord here in this passage, he exposed the hypocrisy of these religious leaders who chose their traditions above the Word of God, above the law of God. And he declares here that man's problem is his heart. It's not that which goeth in. It's not his environment. That's not man's problem. The problem is his heart. We come into this world with a heart that is estranged from God, alienated from God, a heart that is hard, a heart that is wicked, a heart upon which the Word of God makes no impression. Just like on a rock, making an impression, it's not easy to do. And the heart of man is so hard that even the Word of God doesn't make an impression. God has to give a new heart. But here's the point I want to make by bringing us here to this place. In verse 12, you notice here in Matthew 15, verse 12, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" It's amazing, isn't it, that our Lord's disciples, early on, they thought they knew better than the Lord. This is one of those cases, isn't it? They thought they knew better than him. Don't you realize you've offended these people by that statement? And no doubt they were thinking that these are the men that could really help us. These religious rulers, leaders, they could really be a help to us in establishing a kingdom here upon this earth. And, of course, that's the kind of kingdom they were expecting and looking for, even his disciples. "Lord, don't you realize you've offended them?" But he answered. Now, here's the point. "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." When we think of a righteous man, a child of God, as compared to a palm tree, the first thing we see is that it is planted in the house of the Lord. And who does the planting? God does. God the Father planted by His eternal election, by choosing His people from before the foundation of the world. God the Son does the planting by redeeming His people with His precious blood. And God the Holy Spirit does the planting by convicting and regenerating, calling His people. And notice they're planted in the house of the Lord. Now I want us to think of that in these two ways. That every child of God, everyone that God saves, is planted in the house of the Lord. First of all, let's think of the house of the Lord like a local church. You see, when a person is first saved, we've got to grow. We start off as babes in Christ. We're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. What does a baby eat? A baby eats milk. And so we have the Word of God, the milk of the Word of God. But God plants a tree in a local church. A sheep, a believer is like a sheep, and a sheep is an animal that must be in a herd, or in a flock, rather. It must have a pastor. And God, when He saves a person, He puts that person in a local church where that person may be nurtured, just like a baby when it comes into the home. The parents nurture that baby, feed that baby, watch over that child. And so, in the house of the Lord, this tree is planted by God, and it is planted in the house of the Lord so that it may be cared for. When the Good Samaritan, that parable our Lord told that's called the Good Samaritan, you remember when He rescued that man out of the ditch, He took him to the inn, I-N-N, and left him there. And that inn may be likened to a local church. When the Lord saves someone, He adds that person to a local church. I'm thankful for this church, aren't you? If you're a member of this church, if you're part of this church, what a blessing to be planted in the house of the Lord, where you have people who love you, people who pray for you, a preacher that preaches the gospel to you, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But I said we think of this house of the Lord not only as a local church, but as the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for us. And we know that He has a place prepared for every one of His children. RSVP. It's reserved for you if you're one of His children. There's a place. There's a dwelling place in that mansion above. And no one else can occupy that place. And it was reserved for you from before the foundation of the world. And it's ready. It's ready. And when the Lord calls you home, you have a place, a building, eternal in the heavens. That's what the Apostle Paul said. So that's the first thing about this palm tree as a emblem of a child of God. It's planted. It's planted in the house of the Lord. And people are not saved by chance. It may appear to be chance. There is no such thing as chance to begin with or luck, but it may appear that way. But it really isn't, because God has planned it from before the foundation of the world. Now, I've told you this story before, but those three young men that were playing out in front of a cathedral in some city in England years ago, and they knew there was a clock on the inside of the church building, and they wanted to know what time it was, and they kind of nudged one another, "You go in and see what time it is." And finally, they I guess, pressured one man, young man. He ran in, And like in our building here, he looked up at the clock to see what time it was, but just that fast. The preacher was preaching, and God, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of that man. He didn't come back out. So they sent another one in. He didn't come back out. And it ended up all three were in. Now that may seem like chance, like just happened, that happenstance. Oh, no, no. Before there ever was a star shining in the sky, God had determined and purposed that those men would come into that place at that particular time and hear that message and God work in their hearts. Same thing is true of you. Same thing is true of me, of every child of God. It wasn't by chance that you came to hear the gospel. God purposed it from before the foundation of the world. And aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Here's the second thing, and I see I've got to move along here. The righteous, like the palm tree, grows upright. This is the thing that especially got my attention. As windy as it was, I mean, it was windy where we were a couple of weeks ago, and yet these palm trees I were looking at, they were straight as an arrow. They were straight as an arrow. And what a picture there of the child of God, like a palm tree. We look up. We look up to Christ. We don't look down. Our attention, our affections are set on things above, not on things of this world. But like that palm tree grows upright, so a child of God, we grow in grace and we grow upright. Many a person comes to know the Lord, and you couldn't believe them. I mean, you couldn't believe a word they said. But when the Lord saved them, they began to tell the truth. Now, they'll fall off the wagon, as they say, a few times and probably tell a lie here or there. But basically, they're going to grow upright. They want to be upright in their word. When they give their word, they want their word to be true. And they grow upright in their conduct. They don't want to bring a bad reflection upon their confession of faith, upon their Savior. They want to honor Him. They grow upright like the palm tree. And a third thing about the palm tree, a palm tree brings forth fruit. Now, the fruit in Canaan that the palm trees brought forth was dates. Dates. But a palm tree, like a child of God, like a palm tree, brings forth fruit. And the reason the child of God brings forth fruit is because he's in the vine. He's a branch in the vine. If he's not in the vine, if he's not in Christ, he's not going to bring forth any fruit. You know, there are several types in the scripture that speak of the believer's union with Christ. We're members of His body. He's the head. We are members of His body. There's union. He's our husband. We are His bride. There's a union. The two become one. There are several of these pictures. But do you know there's one that the Apostle Paul deals with called grafting. Grafting. And a person is grafted into Christ, just like you would take a tree that is sturdy, native probably to this area and is strong, but it doesn't give real good fruit. And so you would graft a branch or something onto that stock, and it would begin to give good fruit. And Paul speaks of a believer as being grafted into Christ so that we partake of the root and the fatness, the sap. We couldn't bring forth any fruit of ourselves. Bad fruit, yeah. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's His fruit. It's the Spirit living in us, in the child of God. We bring forth fruit, love, and joy, and peace, and those other things that are mentioned there in Galatians. Meekness and temperance and goodness. Another thing, the righteous, like the palm tree, is full of life. Do you know the leaves on the palm tree are always green? They're always green. As long as they're on the palm tree, they're always green. They really are. And the child of God is full of life. Just like that green picture's life, the child of God is full of life, eternal life, everlasting life. Let me show you another verse in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 7 and 8. Blessed, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Have you ever been up in the hill country, maybe, and it gets awfully dry up there and hot in the summer, and then you see along a little creek, and there's trees growing, and they're flourishing alongside that creek. Why? Because there's water. And for the child of God, we're planted by the river of God's eternal love. And we'll never die. We're full of life, the life of God in our soul. He's given us eternal life. And there's one last thing that I want to mention. The righteous, like the palm tree, rejoices in victory. And by that I mean, and I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, but by that I mean that the branches of a palm tree symbolize victory. When the Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem, riding on the ass, remember, they were crying out, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. But before that, they laid out those branches of palm trees for him to enter into Jerusalem on, as triumphant, victorious, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And here in Revelation chapter 7, we see a picture into heaven of God's people. Chapter 7 and verse 9. And then, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, now notice, and palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. The righteous, like the palm tree, know victory in our Savior. He's made us more than conquerors through him. And we have victory over sin. The wages of sin is death, but he has taken our sin away. We have victory over Satan. He has defeated him. We have victory over the world. He has overcome the world. And we have victory over death and the grave. The righteous are like the palm tree in the sense that we know victory. We have victory. And our victory is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray that the Lord would bless this message to those of us here today. want to say something before we sing our hymn.